One of the biggest findings is we're seeing just an amazing surge of new malware samples. We've went up over 50% in the last 6 months, and that's just our company. Other companies are seeing the exact same things. The biggest surge has been in what's called fake antivirus, which is the scareware, if you will, that installs itself on your computer and claims that your computer is infected with all of this malware, and the only way to get rid of it is to hand over your credit card information to get this code, and it supposedly will clean it up. But all you've really succeeded in doing is cleaning out your bank account.
So this is not, it's more of a form of phishing, if you will, than really malware that's being installed?
It's a little bit of both. It's definitely malware in that it's doing harmful things to your machine, because some of these have the ability to turn off functionality in your machine or block you from using legitimate antivirus software or other security softwares. So, say, turn off your Windows firewall, turn off your AV, turn off various other bits until you are willing to pay and get this code.
And so, well, a couple of questions. First, how does it get in the first place? And I guess I would address that answer to institutional or large organization types of systems administrators.
The primary way of getting onto machines is actually through infected websites. So you have a legitimate website that has been compromised that then will install this code silently on your machine, so you don't know what's actually happening until it starts popping up and happening right then. By that point in time, it's already on.
And can this occur with otherwise legitimate websites, or is it places people should not be browsing in the first place?
It used to be, back in the day, the advice was, you know, if you don't go to some of these sketchy sites, you'll be fine. That's not the case anymore. We're seeing more and more legitimate sites compromised. For example, the U.S. is now hosting 42% of the malware that we're seeing. We're hosting it. And these are mostly legitimate sites. So your mom and pop organization or, you know, some little tiny business who have a website that they don't really know how to set it up, they don't really know how to secure it properly, and suddenly a bad guy breaks in, puts this stuff on that machine, so whenever you go to this little mom-and-pop shop website, you're getting infected.
And suppose I'm Homeland Security or the FAA or a website like that. What should I be doing as the administrator of a large website to make sure that those people don't move in on me?
The best thing you can be doing is making sure that that web server is secure, that you've patched sufficiently, that you keep up-to-date antivirus on it, that you have secure firewalls. You definitely want a multi-layer approach to securing your web server.
And are there any steps you can take to scan your website to make sure there's nothing like that on there?
There are actual companies that will scan websites to see if there's any malware on it. I know that Google have their Safe Browse, so they will check web pages. We offer an appliance that can do such a thing. McAfee offers such services. A bunch of us have that kind of technology, so we can help protect your web servers.
We're speaking with Beth Jones, a senior security researcher for Sophos Labs. And you mentioned, okay, that's one form of malware that's out there that you're seeing new samples of. What are some of the other sample types that are growing?
Some of the other ones that we see that are at least growing in the media, we're seeing iPad and iPhone hacks. There was something at one of the conventions recently, I believe it was DEF CON, that they showed a Google Android hack where it could be taken over and do all sorts of things. We kind of downplay that because there's definitely conditions that need to be met for that to actually work, and we're not seeing a huge amount of it.
you know, these things tend to start small, but in the world of cyber, in the world of computers, things that start small have a way of growing exponentially. So even though the threat to portable devices such as Androids and iPhones is small now, if it keeps doubling over the next few years, it seems like that could become a tidal wave. Is that what you're worried about, or should we worry about that?
Right now, we're not actually worried about that. Of course, the bad guys are always looking for the newest vector, but there's much better and easier vectors to get through right now. So, for example, there's a lot of energy being thrown at breaking Windows 7 right now. And as you know, Microsoft has been talking about trying to do a tablet version with Windows 7 on it to compete with the iPad. So I could see where Windows 7 is going to be a much more viable target, because Windows still keeps a very high market share. We have seen other forms of malware attacking, say, BlackBerries. The biggest problem that we see with mobile device security is that they act as transmitters. So you can have an infected machine plug that iPhone or iPad or Android or what have you into that machine, and then it becomes a carrier. The malware is transferred onto there, so if you plug it into another machine, that'll transfer onto another machine.
And so what's the best advice to prevent that from happening, again, for large organizations?
Again, for large organizations is to definitely make sure that the devices that are being plugged in are able to be scanned as a removable device, or at the very least, make sure that, again, their software on the machines that these devices are being plugged into is very up-to-date, is right on top of everything, so that if there is something on it, it can be caught and then remediated immediately.
Now, in the government, people that get issued phones such as, I guess there actually are some iPhones issued by the government, mostly BlackBerries and I guess some Androids and the whole gamut of phones, those have the applications on them that are issued by the agency. And yet there are these large markets of third-party applications. Are those a danger, and should people avoid or be real careful about what applications they add just for fun and entertainment?
Absolutely. It's no different adding them to your work PC as you do your work phone. You definitely want to be careful of what kind of applications you're putting on the machines or on the mobile devices. Our stance on it has always kind of been, and I mean this is even for our own company, unless it's been approved by our IT team, you don't put it on.
Yeah, so just buy your own, get your own account, and worry about that.
Exactly. In a way, a lot of people tend to forget that work machines are not their personal machines. These are still owned by the company, or in the government's case, it's owned by the government agency. It's not their personal machine. So treating it as such has always been a perpetual danger for any organization.
Is there anything you wanted to add that we didn't cover?
Just wanted to maybe touch a little bit on the scope of the fake AV problem, mainly because most people kind of, while they hear about it, I don't think they understand the full scope and why this is such a problem. The fake AV problem has really spawned. There was a great article that one of my colleagues wrote, where he did an in-depth study of this fake antivirus marketing firm. They called themselves Innovative Marketing, and they were based in the Ukraine. I don't think people understand the global economy that this has generated. In 2008 alone, they took in $180 million, and that's just from scamming people to hand over their credit card information, either through the fake antivirus or through the online pharmacies that they also did.
So you could have a regular company and work a lot of years to get that kind of revenue, and they're doing this not just from the $39 they ask for you, but from using your credit card number to get a lot more money.
Absolutely. And then in some cases, the online pharmacy generates so much. We did a study ourselves of one of these online Canadian pharmacies, and we figured out that if they could get 200 purchases from a single spam campaign, they could earn $16,000 in revenue per day. And we saw that an affiliate website that, you know, shows all the online pharmacy stuff, if they could get 10,000 redirects a day to it, they could earn $180,000 in a single year.
Yeah, that's easier than going to college, isn't it?
Again, back to that original study with innovative marketing. These were a bunch of college students in the UK, in the Ukraine, trying to put themselves through school. They were turning a blind eye to what they were doing because the money was so good.